Hello and welcome to the Ozone. I'm your host, Jeff Hazard, retired Sports Information Director of SUNY Oneonta and current chair of the Athletic Hall of Fame Committee. And on today's show, we have special guest Danielle Kennedy, class of 2014, as we are going to induct her into our Athletic Hall of Fame this coming June 6, 2026. So welcome to the show, Danielle.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for having me. Appreciate this honor.
Why don't we start with, first of all, congratulations on behalf of the committee and myself. Certainly a well-accomplished, career as a student athlete, both academically and athletically.
Thank you. Very excited and very much appreciate this honor.
So why don't we start with why Oneonta, and then we can talk, go from there.
Sure. At the time, I was looking at a variety of colleges. I wasn't much of a high school athlete, so athletics wasn't necessarily something that I was seeking out. I was looking more for a community setting, smaller school, somewhere where it would feel more like a family. And I remember stepping out of the car at Oneonta and saying to my parents, "This is the one, this is the place." And I think they felt it too. Then I was still running in high school. So, once I had been accepted to Oneonta, I was like, "Oh, maybe, joining the cross country team could be something that could be for me." It was intimidating, but I just liked that homey feel, that community feel. And that's kind of what drove my decision. It was something that it's like they say, when you know, and when I knew, and honestly, it was one of the best decisions of my life. And I'm really grateful, for especially for my parents for, encouraging me to look there, and it all worked out.
Yeah, that's what a lot of the student athletes say. As soon as they come to campus, they know.
Yeah, it was that feeling, and it all just kind of clicked. It was one of the last schools that I had seen too, so it was a little unexpected because I thought I had kn known what I want, but I was surprised, and it ended up working out great.
You said that you didn't really think that you were a talented runner in high school. So what was that transition like now to the, to be in, I mean, by the time you were done, certainly you were our top, one of the best all time.
It wasn't that I didn't think I was good. I really wasn't good. And I remember calling Matt LoPiccolo and Angelo Pasilico, before the season started, like, "Hi, I'm super excited, to join the team." And they're like, "Yeah, we'll see how it works out." And I was intimidated going there. I didn't know anyone. My high school friends had all gone to different schools, so I remember, we do a midnight time trial the first night, like all the alumni, they all know that. And I just remember standing there at midnight on the line at the track, like looking around at, all these great runners that were older than I was, and even, my best friend, who now my college best friend, but, looking at her, we were, these incoming freshmen, and I was super intimidated. But I think it was just that culture of, wanting to be better, wanting to be big, it's bigger than just me. It's a whole team, it's the whole school, it's the whole athletic community. So I think it was motivating, a little intimidating at first, but a really supportive environment. And I think just, having a team that everybody came together, it didn't matter how good you were or how fast you were. And I appreciate the coaches that saw potential and pushed me to be better than I really ever knew that I could be. And teammates too, that all wanted to work hard and succeed. So
So when did you really see or think that you could maybe do more at a national level?
it was the summer going into sophomore year. So freshman year, it was like an average freshman year. I really wasn't like a standout. And then kind of going into sophomore year, I remember Angelo just telling me, like, put in the work, and, put in the miles. And that summer I trained really hard. And it was really my sophomore year that I think I kind of started to find my groove. I'd never run these distances before in my life, like an 80 mile running week, 100 mile running week, like I was running like 20 miles a week. You know,
Yeah.
I wasn't training at the caliber that, you know, all of these other great athletes on the team were, or really in the conference or in the region, or in the country.
Yeah.
And so it was really my sophomore year that I kind of started to see that take off. And then every year since then, it was kind of like, all right, we're gonna go a little further. We're gonna push a little further. And I appreciate, you know, the coaches seeing that and kind of working to kind of figure out, all right, how do we get her there when she doesn't know she's going to go there, right?
Right.
And I really appreciated that. So, you know, it was sophomore year.
Okay. And what was the training like? I mean, you know, obviously, you know, you said you took on more miles, which is, you know, crazy when you say going from 20 to 80. A lot of people don't know that, right? So what was that training like? And, you know, how do you think it, you know, got you to where you got?
Yeah, I think it was a lot of miles, long, slow distance, as I used to say, you know, 10, 15 mile long runs on the weekends, and then a lot of interval training, you know, a lot of tempo training. There was a point where I think I was a junior, maybe sophomore year, junior year, but Angelo and Matt started getting really into using heart rate monitors
Yeah.
and kind of noting, like training where our bodies were rather than just where, you know, somebody thought we should be. And I think that was a really successful training model. And honestly, something I use even training, you know, I've run two Boston marathons, a Chicago marathon, and I think, you know, training where your body is. Some days you don't have great days, and, you know, so that was a big thing of what we did. You know, we'd put a heart rate monitor on and go for a long run. Don't exceed this zone. You're getting what you need without, you know, putting that extra added stress on your body. Taking care of your body. The athletic training staff is incredible. You know, being ready to tape us up before practice or having the ice bath ready, you
Yeah.
know, with other college athletes too. You know, we'd be in the athletic training room with the basketball players or the field hockey players, and they're all getting that support as well. But yeah, it was just making sure that we were, you know, training to the best we could train, but also taking care of ourselves off of the track.
Right.
And eating well, you know, getting good sleep, getting good rest, taking care of ourselves on our off weeks, on our breaks. I think the coaching staff was really good about, you know, making sure that we knew those were things that were a priority and we weren't going to be able to get to the place that we needed to be successful if we were not, you know, being accountable for those things that we had to do to train hard and recover well.
Yeah, that seems to be the you know, the program that Matt LaPiccolo, Mike Schmidt, Angelo kind of in, you know, embraced. And it seemed to be like a holistic approach to the, you know, the total training, because obviously you can, you know, get injury, and you know, some people can't get, you know, can't do high volume stuff.
100%.
Yeah.
And one of the other cool things that I like, it's been successful for me in my life, like, you know, I mentioned earlier running marathons, but also just in my career, like my professional career is, you know, like even visualization techniques, like after practice, hey, Danielle, go take 10 minutes to sit quietly and think about yourself on the starting line at the national championship. I was like, I'm not going to the national championship. And they're like, okay, well, see yourself there because if you get there, you're going to want to be prepared, you know? That was a really successful tactic that worked for me and kind of being able to prepare myself because those were not always things that I'd ever envisioned for myself. And, you know, the coaching staff saw that and they were, you know, they made that investment. And some of those things really paid off for me because when you're standing on that line at the national championship and you're so nervous and, you know, you want to do your best, there's a calmness that comes on, a feeling like I've been here before. I hadn't, but in my
Yeah.
mind I had. And I know that's, you know, a technique that a lot of athletes, you know, have used. So that was something that I think Chris Popovich, Matt, they
Yeah.
kind of brought to
Yeah.
the team as well. Each coach kind of had their different avenue that they could, you know, provide feedback and guidance for success. So that was also one that I really appreciated and worked well for me too.
So you got to the national championships, and there you were standing on the starting line. So just walk us through that race. You know, you earned the, you know, you are the only cross country All-American. So what is that like?
It's really special. And I think that was a really special trip. I remember Angelo telling us when we were getting off the bus that day that no matter what happens, how proud he was of us as a team, because that was the first time the women's cross country team had ever been at a national championship. And just to be there was a really proud moment for all of us. And that team, you know, we had two seniors, I believe. Allison and I were seniors, a couple of juniors, some sophomores, and two or three freshmen, if I'm remembering correctly. And it was really awesome. You know, it was like, that's the future as
Yeah.
well. And a lot of those women had gone on to go to multiple
Yeah.
cross-country national championships after that. So I think that was a really special moment and really something that kind of took the pressure off that no matter what happens today, we all deserve to be here. And this fire is what's going to allow the team to go again.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was a great day. It was cold, but it was, you know, sunny, dry, and it was fun. I remember having so much fun that day, and I remember Angelo used to just say, like, you know, get on the ride. You know, you just like Matt, and that was Matt's thing too, like go for a ride. Just get in there and kind of go with the group. And a lot of those women I had raced with before at there were a couple of other Suniac athletes in there, as well as, you know, girls that we had raced against at the regional level. So getting in with that group and finding my groove, and I remember, you know, just had to make the top 30, you know, and or 35. Apologies that I'm not accurately remembering the number. My mom brain fails me sometimes, but yeah, it was really special. And I remember nearing the finish line and feeling like, wow, I did this. And that was a really proud moment. And you know, I remember coach like Joe Reed was there, and he was like jumping up and down, and yeah, just really great memories. And fun to experience it with your teammates, and fun to experience it with other, you know, Suniac competitors. Like it, even the conference, yeah, your competitors, but it's great when you can all be on the same stage together. You're all better together. So. Yeah, that
So did you do you think that you became the leader of the team? I mean, did you look at yourself as the leader? You know, let's.
I think I actually was thinking about this question the other day, so it's kind of funny you said that. I think people saw me as the leader, but I was really motivated by the women on the team that wanted to put in the work too. I wasn't the only one that was working hard. There was a group of women that, you know, they wanted to be better than me. They wanted me to graduate, and they wanted to go beat all my records. And that's awesome. That's how it should be, right? It's like you have kids and you want them to be better than you were. And I think that was really motivating for me, because they all wanted to be there and they wanted it just as much as I did, if not more. And it never felt like we were competing against each other. We were always competing with each other. So I think I was really motivated by those around me. And also the male team, you know, the guys team, like we trained a lot. You know, Angelo would sometimes stick me with some of them on tempo runs, and you know, it was always fun. It never felt like we were divided. And I think that team mentality that, you know, the coaching staff, the athletic department, Tracy Ranieri was really big about that as well. And I think others saw me that way, but I saw myself as just another member of the team that was really excited to be there with my teammates and do what we loved every day. It was so much fun. I wish I could go back to those days a lot of times.
Yeah, so as you look back on some of that, I mean, let's, can you talk a little bit more about some of those special moments during your 4 years of Oneonta?
Yeah, I think the na I think I have a couple of favorites. I think the Suniac Championship, I was a junior that was hosted at in Poughkeepsie. I apologize that I'm forgetting the course, where it was so cold and so frigid. I think it was on Halloween, if not
Could have been,
Halloween, like a
yeah.
couple of days before Halloween. And it was snowing, and it was a Suniac championship, and that's where I was inducted into the Suniac Hall of Fame. Right there, like freezing. Everyone was so cold. And I was like, "This is the best." So that was a highlight moment. Obviously, the national championship, cross country national championship, and then the track and field national championship as well. I went for the 5K and the 10K, was injured in the 10K, but finished the 5K. And even though I didn't earn All American there, that was still a really great way to end, my college career. But Penn Relays was a
Yeah.
highlight, going to meets in Boston, like Valentine's Invitational. I think I was thinking about the favorites the other day, and I said to my husband, the athletic staff, from the top down, athletic director down, always made investments in the team to be able to compete where, at the level that they knew we could compete. And the school made the investment for us to go and race at these meets where there were, teams from across the region, the Northeast. And I think those were just really great experiences to compete at a high level, compete with Division One athletes, like that we're going just outside of Division Three as well.
Right.
But then I think truly some of my favorite moments are those long runs, like being in the van and driving out. We called it the rail trail,
Yep, I ran it many times.
Yeah, like driving out in the van early on a Sunday morning,
Yeah.
or meeting freshmen for that midnight time trial, running the trails behind the high school across the street, on a Wednesday afternoon with my teammates, like going to the locker room and hanging out with other staff and the or other athletes in the ice bath and talking to the athletic staff. Those are highlights too, and I think all those moments culminate into just a really great experience that I'm so grateful for and look back on it. Like today I was running with my daughter, my older daughter, my 4-year-old. She loves to ride her bike. So she's at a good pace now where she makes me work. Like I'm running hard. I'm not in good shape as I used to be, but she's like, "Mom, I'm tired." And it came out of my mouth like, athletes finish strong, and she's like, "That's right, Mom." And
Nice.
I just think it was just a group of people that always felt like we were going to finish strong, we were going to go to the end, we were going to run past, like Matt Lo Piccolo always said, you run through the finish line.
Yeah.
And I think those moments, they still live within me, and it's really fun to see them come out. And I think that says something, that it was a really special time, and one I'm really appreciative and definitely very grateful for as well.
Certainly you were quite an accomplished, student athlete as far as off the, the trails and the court, the tracks and all that. I mean, can you talk a little bit about your academic experience as well?
I majored in communications with a minor in journalism, mass communications, and again, like I didn't know what I wanted to do. I remember being in the dining hall after a run one day, and a classmate of mine was like, "Hey, Oneonta News Now is like having anchor auditions." I'm like, "What is that?" And I like took a shower after practice and went and did this audition, and ended up like doing the student TV station, and that was kind of where I really like understood my love for journalism and the professors that really fostered that experience. Their connections and internship opportunities that helped me, understand what journalism would entail. In fact, I think I'm assisting with a class coming up, being like they're going to do like a Q&A of a former reporter, but which is still so fun to be a part of that. And I think the school does a really great job at, supporting student athletes. Like at the time, the cross country and track and field team had one of the highest, if not the highest, like cumulative GPAs on campus. And the coaches were really proud of that. So they wanted to make sure we were we were putting in the time, and all of us going to the library together after practice to get our homework done. But I think academically, the school does a great job at setting you up for success. And in my case at the time, you know, it was using those local connections, alumni who were journalists that were, you know, presenting at different classes. But I think what I remember most is, you know, just the friendliness of the professors and being like, have you ever thought about this? You know, and like taking the time to kind of talk to you after class and put in that extra work. They're invested in me as a student. And I'm very excited to go back in June and walk the campus and see all the, you know, the improvements. I mean, I was reading about the media lab in the alumni magazine. Like, these are amazing investments that are, you know, going to set these students up for success in the future. And it's great to be an alumni of the college and see all the great things that are happening. So
So your career took you to South Bend, Indiana, and
hey.
also to Providence, Rhode Island. Why don't you talk a little bit about those two experiences?
Sure. So after graduating from Oneonta, when I originally came to Oneonta as a freshman, I thought I wanted to be a teacher. It wasn't for me. I started taking some like the general classes, and even like my best friend, college teammate, she's a teacher now. And you know, like I thought at the beginning it was for me. It wasn't. So when I kind of changed to that communications major and found my stride, I ended up going to Syracuse University to get my master's in broadcast and digital journalism. It's a one-year program. It wasn't necessarily because the news world requires a master's. It was more because I thought, well, maybe one day if I ever want to go back and teach, it would be an opportunity for me to, you know, to do that without having to go back and get a master's. And when I went to Syracuse, I thought I wanted to be a sports reporter. But through taking classes and again having professors that, you know, were like, hey, try this, here's a connection, talk to them. I took an internship opportunity in Washington, D.C., where I was working for a station in Utah at the time. It was kind of like your capstone project, as they called it. And I loved it. I never really one, you know, saw myself as a reporter. Oneonta News Now was fun, but I didn't necessarily think that would be the career path. I thought maybe it would be sports or writing. So I got the first job offer in South Bend, Indiana, and I remember landing in South Bend, and I was like, where am I? I'd been to Indiana for the national championship, but I'd never been to the Midwest before. But I'm so grateful I took that job because it's how I met my husband. You know, met him through a news story, and it's fun to kind of watch that clip back and show our daughters. You know, my daughters are like, Dad, that's you. You know, Mom, that's you. So I worked for WSBT 22 in South Bend for a little over 2 years. Such a fun experience. The friends that I made there are, you know, like my Oneonta friends and my South Bend friends were in my wedding. And those are really two, you know, groups of friends that I hold near and dear to my heart. And after 2 years there, the company I was working for, they had an opening in Providence, Rhode Island. My husband was being moved there. He's active duty Coast Guard. So he was being stationed from St. Joseph, Michigan to Newport, Rhode Island. And I thought, you know what, it's time to move up. The company was really, you know, big on, hey, you could stay within the company, go help another station. So I moved to the Providence, Rhode Island market, which we covered a lot of Boston stories too. But first time living in New England, that was fun. Spent time in New Hampshire, hiking, Massachusetts.
Well, there you
It's where
go.
I ran, you know, I trained for two Boston marathons there, which was a really great experience. And journalism, it's such a rewarding field. It's challenging. Every day is different, but that makes it fun. And I really enjoyed all of the people and the experiences that I had. I think it's very humbling. Some of the difficult stories, but happy stories, and just seeing the good in people and humility. So while I was working in, I worked in Rhode Island for almost 5 years. And then my husband, again, the military said, hey, it's time to go. He was restationed in Los Angeles, California. So just after having my oldest daughter, she was like 4 or 5 weeks old, we shipped
Wow.
out. And, I made the transition out of journalism. I wanted to do something a little bit different, something that would allow me to, be a mom. And, journalism is such a great thing. It takes all of you. And, sometimes that balance can be hard. And I just didn't have a support system here that would allow me, to work odd hours. And I wanted something different. It was time. It had been 10 years, and I thought, let me see what else is out there. So I'm currently a public information officer at a county agency here, and it is so fulfilling and so much fun. I feel really fortunate that I get to wake up every day and love what I do, and I get to work with reporters. I get to tell stories. Still, it's all the same things. It's just on the other side, and it's really re rewarding. And I think a lot of the skills that I learned at Oneonta, a lot of the skills I learned in like cross country and track and training hard and working hard, like all of those things translate. And it's a journey that I'm really grateful for, and definitely very glad for every turn. Sometimes you don't know if it's the right one, but it always works out.
It does. I think if you work hard, things, good things happen to people who work hard.
Yeah, I hope so. And yeah, just all the all the great people that I've met along the way, all of like they stand out, and I have a special place for all those memories. So yeah, very grateful for it.
Is there, I know you've mentioned your coaches and stuff, but I mean, are there people that you want to thank or maybe give a shout out to for your
I was thinking about that. I definitely think. Tracy Ranieri, appreciate her. She would drive home and see us running and wave down the window, "Let's go, girls!" And like that, like she was so invested in athletics. Angelo Pasilico, obviously the head cross country coach, Matt Lopiccolo, Joe Reed, Chris Wilbur, yourself. I mean, I always, it's funny, like thinking about this interview, I was like, wow, of all the times I would talk to Jeff after a great race, and all the great work you did to support student athletes and highlight all the great work they were doing, as well as all of the great professors that I had along the way, and obviously all the friends that I made. Those relationships are so special to me, and like I said, some of they were in my wedding, like my best friend, college teammate, who I went to the national championship. She was in my wedding. And yeah, I'm very appreciative of everyone who saw something in me that I wasn't seeing in myself, and how much everyone invested in me to help make me the best athlete, student athlete that I could be.
Right. Well, that's
It's
awesome.
great.
And
I'm
certainly, congratulations once again. We're
thank
looking forward
you.
to June 6th.
I'm very excited.
I mean, for me, the great thing is being able to, reconnect with the athletes who, were there when I was there for that period of time and seeing them and celebrating them again, in this format, which, I mean, it's just a special time. It's always a lot of fun, and each class is unique, and it's makeup, because you'll all be together. You know what I mean? You'll be together in one time.
It's fun, thinking like I remember being a student athlete and looking at the Hall of Fame plaques, and emulating that. And it's a really special honor. I'm very, very appreciative of it. So thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. So we'll looking forward to seeing you on June 6th as
Yes.
we induct you into our Athletic Hall of Fame.
As well.
And so we'll see you soon and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jeff. Thanks for this opportunity. Really, really looking forward to June 6th.
Bye. Thank you.